I think a lot of MSPs will just check a box and they'll say, hey, well, I've got E&O insurance. And they don't realize that this is an unregulated product. Some policies will cover client data loss. Some won't. Some will cover a rogue employee. Some won't. So that's where I think you get into trouble, is that they're leaning on someone, an agent or an agency that maybe doesn't have that expertise to write that policy. And then they're not really, and it's not their job. I don't blame them. They're not paying attention to it. They just say, hey, I've got E&O insurance. I'm protected.
This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to episode 53 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. A couple of episodes ago, I spoke to Wes Spencer at Perch Security about some of the actions and strategies you can implement to protect yourself as the MSP and your clients against the recent surge of MSP-targeted ransomware. Today, we're looking at another plank in your MSP defense strategy, insurance. If you experience a breach of some kind, whether that's you as the MSP directly or one of your clients, that can be a life-changing event, and not in a good way. Worst case scenario, it could mean the end of your MSP business, bankruptcy, and all the ripple-on effects from those. So it absolutely makes sense to have some safety nets in place. I mean, yes, you want to take precautionary measures so your house doesn't catch on fire. Those are some of the technical precautions that we talked about in the Wes Spencer episode. But you also want to know that if circumstances beyond your control burn your house to the ground, that you can recover. And of course, that's where insurance comes in. My guest today is Justin Reinmuth, the founder of TechRug, an insurance agency based in Columbus, Ohio that specializes in working with technology service providers. Fun fact, his company name TechRug is a short form for Technology Risk Underwriting Group. Together, Justin and I are going to look at what insurance your MSP needs and why, how to make sure you're using insurance optimally as a protection strategy for your business, and some of the trends in technology insurance that will be affecting you in the coming years. One thing to note, this discussion with Justin covers insurance in the United States specifically. The details of insurance are going to be different in different countries, of course, but the broad strokes should apply just about anywhere, so this is well worth a listen no matter where you are. And at the end of the show, I'll provide some additional resources and contacts for people outside of the United States.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks.
Hi, Justin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's nice to be here. Thank you, Jennifer.
Today, it feels like MSPs are facing even more threats than before, and that those threats are evolving. So from where we sit today in late 2019, what are the basic insurance policies that you think every MSP needs to have in place right now?
The number one policy that you're going to want to pay attention to is a cyber E&O policy. A lot of MSPs are unaware that when you're dealing with these type of policies, I'm going to use the word unregulated, but that's what they are, is they're unregulated compared to, let's say, for something like an auto insurance policy. It really doesn't matter what carrier you're with. If you wreck your three-year-old Honda, you know, they're going to give you the value of the three-year-old Honda because auto insurance, for the most part, is regulated. And what I mean by unregulated is that some policies will cover cyber extortion. Some won't. Some will cover first-party business interruption claims. Some won't. Some will cover regulatory fines and penalties. Some won't. So making sure that A, you've got the right policy, B, you've got the right limits, and C, you're teaming up with the right agent or agency or an association that has some sort of program is probably more important today than it ever has been. What we're seeing on our end is, at least for our clients, in the way that we have the policy structured, is that the coverages that we have are there for them. But if something were to happen and your tool set is compromised and there is all of a sudden a ransom and it shuts down 8, 10, 12, 15 of your clients, you may have a limit problem. So I would just encourage MSPs to make sure that they've got the right insurance, as well as kind of just going through exercises that if something like that does happen, they know how big their clients are in terms of total dollar amount. And if they were to be shut down for a week or 2 weeks, what would that represent in terms of third-party business interruption claims?
So what I'm hearing is that there's basically just one kind of policy. It's a cyber E&O or errors and admissions, but it depends on what clauses and coverages you fold into that. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. And can you get this cyber E&O from any broker, or do you need to work with an agent who specializes?
I would say obviously specialize or get with an association, because most insurance agents out there or agencies out there, depending on the size of the MSP, but I would say if you're a couple hundred thousand to $10 million, you know, you're probably dealing with the local agent who, when they hang up the phone with you, the next call they're returning is a landscape or a bakery or somebody's home and auto. And if you were to just take that kind of methodology and take it into the IT industry, it'd be like our MSPs sitting down with someone they know at a picnic and going, hey, you're in IT. Can you develop something in Java and J2ME? They'd say, well, listen, I don't do development. I don't do .NET stuff. I can't do QA testing. I can't do project management. So that's the same in insurance, is you want to get with somebody that specializes and to make sure that they understand your business. And then they're incorporating and making sure that your policy contains the right insuring agreements. So if the cab 1, 2, 3, 4 tornado does come through town, you know, that you're going to be properly protected.
Let's go back to some of these things that you mentioned. Some policies have and some don't. So you started the list with cyber extortion. What does that cover?
Yeah, the cyber extortion is basically kidnap and ransom insurance. I've been doing this now 15 years. Over the previous 14 years, we had two MSPs targeted. And for our 1,400 clients, just in the last 9 months, we've had 10. So if that tells you that of what's going on in the industry, I'm sure most people listening to this podcast are familiar with what's going on, whether it's peers or in various groups. But the cyber extortion is going to cover the ransom payment to the bad actors that are demanding a certain dollar amount for the decryption keys.
Now, would that also cover downtime or any sort of compensation to the client that's been affected, or is it just cover the ransom?
It's just going to cover the ransom. When you say downtime to the client, that's where, when we talked about, you want to make sure you got a first party, a full first party, and a third party policy. The first party is going to protect the MSP. The third party is going to protect the MSP from client claims due to business interruption. To kind of veer off a little and make sure, you know, or deal with something else, is that for years past, a lot of MSPs have just looked at insurance as their main focal point for risk management. And to me, it just goes beyond that. We call it PIC, protection, insurance, and contacts. Protection is making sure that the MSPs are doing everything on their end in-house, whether they're going through pen testing or vulnerability scanning, or just making sure that their own house is cleaned up. But also protection and making sure that the clients are doing the things that you're asking to. Again, over the last year, we've seen so many of our MSPs that say, hey, if you're a CD or F rated client, you're not going to do certain things. In today's environment, we're just not going to work with you. Or if they do work with somebody, they're getting some sort of waiver letter, and make sure that that coordinates with the MSA, which is going to take me into my second thing in the PIC, is protection, insurance, and contracts, is making sure that you've got the right contracts in place, using some sort of master services agreement. Because if you're not defining the boundaries with your client and making sure that an MSA contains things like a waiver of segregation or calling for your clients to carry cyber insurance, you know, that's going to be a good risk management technique. Because if one of your clients does get hit, and let's say that their policy, their cyber policy, pays $300,000 in business interruption, and there's a waiver of segregation clause in your MSA, that's going to prevent their insurance company coming back at you for that $300,000. If you take that times 10 clients, you just protected your limits for $3 million.
So it sounds like there's a couple of pieces here. I mean, the insurance piece would obviously be with a broker, but then your contracts would probably be more with a lawyer. So who do you work with to make sure that those two pieces are coordinated and working together?
Getting with a qualified attorney that's familiar with the space. I know for our clients, we've got a risk management team that works with them and helps them out on these sorts of things. Because a lot of times, you know, contracts are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I guess, using that same kind of methodology in terms of technology. I mean, if you're using something that's 7 and 8 years old, it's probably not going to provide the best protection. So in terms of the contracts, you know, there's ways via your statement of work that you can insert certain clauses that can become part of a contract. I'm not an attorney, right? But I'm on these calls a lot of times and making sure that you're kind of keeping up to speed with those things and saying, hey, why did a contract 5 and 6 and 7 years ago with this client? I'm good. That doesn't fly today.
Going back to the list of things that could be in a policy, but aren't always. So we've covered cyber extortion. And then you mentioned this first party, third party. So let's say I'm an MSP and I say, you know, I never negotiate with ransomware actors. I never pay ransoms. So I don't need the cyber extortion because that's just going to cover ransoms. What is the third party protections I need to have in place to cover the downtime while I work with my clients to get this sorted out?
Some of the first party coverages that an MSP is going to want to pay attention to is making sure that they've got first party business interruption. So if there is a hack and they are shut down, that they've got some sort of recourse. Now, remember, it's going to be set to a certain number of days. It's not unlimited. If you've got a client that's 6 months into a 36-month agreement, and because of this situation, they decide to leave you, the insurance carrier isn't going to pay you for the next 30 months. there are boundaries within what the insurance company is going to pay, but making sure that you've got some sort of business interruption is important. Making sure that you've got what we call system damage, where if your data's deleted or corrupted and there's some sort of reproduction that needs to go in place, making sure that you got that. The cyber extortion obviously is important. In terms of third-party coverages, making sure that you've got coverage if a client does experience downtime or if there is some sort of client data loss. See, I would say generally we see five types of claims or situations that happen 99% of the time. The first one's going to be some sort of client data loss. For the second one would be a network security failure, you know, whether it's they're leaving a port open or just whether somebody's better than the security and they get in. The third one is going to be a breach of contract type claim. The fourth one is going to be obviously some sort of cyber extortion, which we've seen going on lately. And then the fifth one is some sort of rogue employee or staff mistake. So those are kind of the five areas on your policy that you want to pay attention to.
With those five types of claims, it sounds like with something like a ransomware event, you might hit multiple of those. So you might have network security failure, that's how they got in, and then cyber extortion, which is the ransom, and then potentially client data loss as well. So can you claim on multiple at a time, or how does that work?
Yeah, usually with the cyber extortion or the tool set does get compromised, when one domino falls, it's going to knock over four or five pretty quick. After the cyber extortion, usually with our clients, we're on the phone with the attorneys and the breach consultants, making sure that we're handling things and dealing with the bad actors. There's going to be some sort of Bitcoin payment. There's going to have to be forensics to make sure that you're complying with it. This is just here in the U.S., but most of the states here have privacy laws. So you have to report and make sure that no PHI or PII was compromised. So that report's got to get done. And then there might be some damage to the data. Then the big one is the third-party business interruption claims. I was just reading the other day where the average compromise now is it's taken an MSP about 9.6, so let's call it 10-ish days to get up and running. So if your client portfolio represents, it's called $52 million, and you're down for 10 days, that's about what, a week and a half? So you're looking at a $1.5 million claim potentially in third-party business interruption claims. And that's where we tell our clients is you may not have a coverage problem, but if something like this happens, you could have a limit problem. Where $1 million maybe used to be the starting point, it's now two or three.
Okay, let's go back to the list of things that could be in a policy. So you mentioned regulatory fines and penalties. So let's talk about when an MSP might need that.
Anytime that some sort of protected health information or personally identifiable information is compromised, if you don't follow the privacy laws on the books, you might be subject to some sort of regulatory fine and penalty. These regulatory defense attorneys are very expensive, and sometimes the fines and penalties can be expensive. So that's the importance of carrying the regulatory fines and penalties coverage.
And now, are there any things in the policy that might make you ineligible for a claim? So for example, we're going to cover you for this, but you have to do X, Y, Z to protect against a breach. And if you don't do that, then we're not going to pay your claim.
As I mentioned earlier, this is an unregulated policy, so different carriers have different criteria. Now, I've seen certain things where prospects have come to us and they said, hey, listen, this carrier is making me fill out this application. And when I look through it, they were asking the MSP to get a third party, like a vendor, Microsoft, you pick the vendor, to indemnify them and make sure that they were meeting the same security standards that the MSP had outlined. Well, I mean, again, getting Microsoft to indemnify you is going to be impossible. So if you check a box and say that you're going to do something like that and you don't do that, you could be in trouble. Or I've seen things where some carriers will say that all devices are encrypted. So if 99% of them are encrypted and that 1%, there's a claim that the carrier is going to cover it. So when you're going through the policy, you want to pay attention to the exclusions, but you also on the application process want to make sure what boxes you're checking and what you're agreeing that you can do, because some of the stuff I've seen where MSPs have checked certain things and then I get a copy of their policy, the application doesn't match what's in the policy and they're putting themselves in jeopardy.
What other sort of details or gotchas like that do MSPs need to be paying attention to when they're buying insurance?
It just depends carrier to carrier. Some policies, like we talked about, will cover the actions of a rogue employee. Some won't. There's just not a standardized policy. And I guess that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is making sure that you're getting with the right agent or agency that does this all day, every day. If they don't, I think to me, that's where you get into trouble, is because there is no way an insurance agent or an agency that's also insuring manufacturing companies, distribution companies, contractors, they don't know what's going on in this space. They're not reading the policy forms. And that's where I think you can get yourself in trouble.
Are you finding that the big carriers that are offering these policies and coverage, are they keeping up? Like the reputation of government and the bigger industries is that they take a long time to adapt to current realities. Are you finding that they're offering the right products for MSPs?
Some are and some aren't. It's carrier by carrier. To your point, I mean, there's two popular carriers that we see probably 70% of our submissions come through when somebody's looking to switch over, and they're with these carriers. And these carriers have three options. They've got like a, let's call it a silver, golden, platinum option. And 95% are on that silver option. And that silver option doesn't cover cyber extortion. It doesn't cover the first party business interruption. It doesn't cover the first party system damage. When we point that out to them, some of the MSPs would say, well, in today's environment, why am I carrying that? I don't know. That's a conversation that they must have had with their agent or agency, and they didn't feel like that was important at the time. But I go back to, it's the MSP and the agent communicating, making sure that the policy is representative of the exposure in the environment. If they're not doing that, the insurance carrier isn't going to come knock on your door and say, hey, I think you need to add this.
That surprises me. A high number of MSPs wouldn't have something like cyber extortion coverage. So what percentage of MSPs would you guess are, quote unquote, adequately protected, however you define that?
I would say, I don't know, 50 to 70% of the clients that we see probably come in don't carry the right amount. I shouldn't say the right amount of insurance, but they don't have the right insuring agreements. So they don't have cyber extortion. Because I think a lot of MSPs will just check a box and they'll say, hey, well, I've got E&O insurance. And they don't realize that this is an unregulated product. So some policies will cover client data loss. Some won't. Some will cover a rogue employee. Some won't. So that's where I think you get into trouble, is that they're leaning on someone, an agent or an agency that maybe doesn't have that expertise to write that policy. And then they're not really, and it's not their job. I don't blame them. They're not paying attention to it. They just say, hey, I've got E&O insurance. I'm protected. And that's, I think, where you run into the problem. Some carriers, as this goes on, hopefully will update their policy forms. There are certainly ones out there that do a good job of it, but I wouldn't say that that's representative of the industry as a whole.
For MSPs who don't have these protections in place, would you say it's a function of just not knowing what they should have in place, or does cost factor into this? What are the things that are preventing them from getting this proper policies in place?
Yeah, you probably hit the nail. It's probably both, right? I think it is them just not knowing, and I don't think that necessarily they should know. And then I think sometimes it's cost. Just to let everyone know, I mean, when I first got involved in the insurance industry, I did professional liability for architects, engineers, accountants before our agency solely focusing on MSPs, MSSPs, CSPs, TSPs, things like that. So I can tell you guys in terms of what a $5 million MSP will pay for $2 million limits versus what an architect, an engineer, or accountant pays, it's going to be three, four, five, six times what they're paying. So cyber is still relatively cheap. But if we continue to see these claims coming down the road, because the carriers, when they underwrote these things, they didn't anticipate getting in the kidnap and ransom business, and that's what they're in. If that does continue to happen, and all signs point to 2020 is not going to be any better than what 2019 was, I think that you're going to see higher premiums, or the carriers might sublimit things and say, hey, we used to offer $1 million of cyber extortion. We're going to only offer $250, and you're going to insure the rest. Or they could add additional exclusions. So there are changes that are coming down. I know with our clients, we're working on tightening things up so that we can go to certain carriers and say, hey, listen, this is what our clients are doing. We want certain limits, or we want certain insuring agreements or exclusions removed so that we can keep the policy forms broad and the premiums down. But yeah, I think as an industry as a whole, I think you'll see an increase in premiums.
How often do you think an MSP needs to revisit their insurance policy to see if it's adequate for their needs at that moment?
It's kind of an ongoing thing. So if an MSP is going to get into a new service offering, I don't know, let's say they weren't doing HIPAA risk assessment 6 months ago and they are today, they need to notify their agent or agency and make sure that they're properly protected. You know, if they're going to go from more of an MSP to an MSSP, and there's a change in service offerings, you got to communicate that. You want to make sure that you're notifying the agent and the carrier and let them know what you're doing. But regardless, you're going to have to go through a yearly application process, which usually starts 2 months before your renewal date. So you're going to at least be addressing this one time during the year.
Okay. And it sounds like if you're an MSP who hasn't reviewed contracts or paperwork in quite some time, you mentioned, you know, contracts that are 6-7 years old, now is absolutely the time to do that and get those lined up with your insurance package.
Yeah, I think the MSPs that are just relying on insurance only is kind of their risk management technique. I think, yeah, in today's environment, what we've seen just even in terms of claims and stuff, just be prepared. If that's your only resource in how you're going to address the risk, you might have to carry $20 million worth of limits. But that's where I go back to protections and contracts as the other piece, making sure that you're doing those things. If you are, and then again, I would encourage everyone to go through an exercise and just see how big are the clients you're working with. Is it $200 million worth of business that's under your management? If a client's down for a week or 2 weeks, it will at least give you some sort of indication on what type of limits you should carry. Now, when we talk to our clients, you know, I don't know how to prepare for a Cat 4 or 5 tornado. And what I mean by that is that for some reason, if the decryption keys don't work, or if we pay the ransom and they don't get back to us, you know, I don't know how you ensure that. So that would be maybe trouble for anyone, where we pay the ransom and then we don't get the decryption keys and then there's nothing we can do. I mean, we're probably in trouble. Or if the decryption keys, 10% of them work and clients are down for another 3, 4, or 5 weeks, that could be trouble. But there are certain techniques that I think you can do to help mitigate risk. And I would say today is more important to make sure that you're paying attention to those things.
And what about things like hurricanes, flooding? What would those be covered under?
Flood here in the U.S., you got to go through FEMA. So that's going to be more of a like an add-on separate type policy. Hurricane, if you're in a coastal area, again, it's going to be a separate type policy. But that wouldn't be something that would be addressed on the E&O. I would tell most of the people, listen, I mean, the two or three most common type of claims that we see in terms of policies that you should be carrying, the number one obviously is going to be your cyber E&O. The second one that we see, believe it or not, over the last 3 years is what we call employment practices liability. So sexual harassment, wrongful termination, discriminations, violations of wage and hourly or Fair Labor Standard Act. And then workers' comp and business insurance would probably be third and fourth. But the E&O and the employment practices liability are the ones that we turn in most for our clients.
Any parting advice for MSPs who are thinking, oh gosh, I need to review my insurance package right now?
We talked about it, is I would just get with somebody that's qualified. I don't think you'd go in if you were having knee surgery and the doctor said, hey, you know, this is my first knee surgery, let's give it a try. I don't know how comfortable you may or may not feel. And so I would interview the agent or the agency and just ask them, I mean, how many other MSPs do you write? If the answer is one, are they familiar with what's going on in the industry? Are they familiar with what insuring agreements they need to pay attention to? Probably not. So I think making sure that you're talking to the right resource and getting the answers that you need, to me, would be the most important thing.
Okay. Thanks very much for joining us today, Justin.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me.
That was Justin Reinmuth of TechRug in Ohio. I'll put links to all the things we discussed in today's show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/053. The title of this episode is What Every MSP Should Know About Cyber Insurance. Justin and I covered a lot of ground here, so I thought I would summarize the key takeaways as I see them. Number one, as an MSP, you need a specific cyber E&O, errors and omissions policy in place. A generic business E&O is not going to provide the coverage and protection you need. Number two, there's a good chance that right now your MSP doesn't have all the right insurance coverages in place or potentially the right limits to protect you properly. Now would be a good time, having listened to this episode, to review your policy and see if it covers some of the basic things we discussed: cyber extortion, first-party protections, third-party protections, data loss, network security failure, rogue employees. Number three, find an insurance agent or broker who specializes in working with technology companies. Ask them a lot of questions and make sure they can answer them all to your satisfaction. As Justin pointed out, the insurance carrier is not going to be the one to come to you and say, hey, you're missing something in your policy. That's on you and the agent you work with. Number four, while you're reviewing your insurance policies, take a look at your legal contracts and agreements as well. Are they working together to provide coordinated protection? Again, you're going to want to look for a lawyer who specializes in working with technology companies if you're not already working with one. I mentioned at the top of the podcast that my discussion with Justin focused on insurance in the United States. I'll say again, the specifics of insurance will be different in different countries, but the broad strokes should apply just about anywhere. Take a look at your policy, find an agent or broker who specializes in handling cyber liability, and ask lots of questions. I'll put Justin Reinmuth's contact information in today's show notes. He can work with any MSP based in the U.S. and is happy to answer questions, but I also asked for some referrals on good insurance agents for MSPs in the U.K. and Australia. I'll put those names in the show notes as well at avic.com/franklymsp/053. Remember that the first ever Frankly MSP Live is happening in January 2020. It will only be the first time once. In the years to come, will you be one of the lucky ones who can say, I was there when it all began? I was there to hear Mike Michalowicz, Tiffany Bova, and Nigel Moore keynote an epic 2.5 days of learning and networking. I was there when it was just 150 of us, growth-minded MSPs, all focused on becoming more productive, efficient, and profitable. Grab your ticket at franklymsplive.com and use code FRANKLY50 for $50 off at checkout. I will see you there. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.